The Lord be with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. It's good to see you again. I don't know if you got it. I've been here a few times before, so if you don't know me, well, my name is Father Eric. Every once in a while, they dust me off and wheel me out, and the people know that I exist. You know, we're reading some of the densest and, if you wish, most beautiful words, I think, in all of sacred scripture. Jesus is really already beginning his passion. He's begun his Last Supper, and actually he's on the way as he's saying these words in chapter 17 of John. They've already left the upper room, and he's walking with them to the Garden of Olives. And in one of the other Gospels, it mentions that as he was walking towards the Garden of Olives and arriving there, he said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. So already before the arrival to the Garden of Olives, he is beginning his passion, so to speak. And in these last minutes, if not hours, of his life, before the passion, or before the crucifixion, rather, he's pouring out his heart. And he's poured out his heart for already four chapters of St. John in this long, ongoing discourse. And now he turns his eyes to God the Father, and he begins what is referred to as the priestly prayer of Jesus. He says, lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, and he starts praying for his apostles and praying for his church. And I just want to focus on one little aspect of it, because, you know, we've got a gospel this long. I'm just going to focus on this, okay? It says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. And then he follows it up with the words, consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sounds very innocuous, right? They don't belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. That's a tremendously deep thing Jesus just said. I got curious and I Googled, you know, I already kind of in the back of my mind have a rough idea, but I just Googled to get a little bit more precision. There's a great app out there called Magisterium AI. So it's one of those AI ones, but it just has to do with church doctrine and stuff. So it's actually quite good. Just to see what they have to say about consecration. And as I say this, I want you to remember, who is he praying for? He was praying for us. So consecration means that we are set apart and dedicated for divine service or worship. So Jesus, when he prays the high priestly prayer, he's praying for his church, the members of his church. And the church doesn't just mean the guys who dress up like me, right? The church is anybody who is a baptized Catholic, or even if you wish, in a broader sense, a baptized Christian. That is his church. When we get baptized, we are set aside by God for sacred purposes. We belong to him. That's why he says in the line before, they do not belong to the world. When you become baptized, You don't belong to the things of the world. You are set aside for God. We are called by baptism to be saints right off the bat. And this is what Jesus is praying. Father, consecrate them. Help them. Give them the grace that they need to become saints, because they don't belong to the world anymore. They belong to you. We are God's possessions. To be consecrated means to be removed from the ordinary things. It means to be purified. It means no longer to belong to ourselves. And it also means, in order to bring this about, to be given sacred power, grace. This is something I think that we don't think enough about, and maybe we don't even understand or believe a lot of the time. When we live a life of holiness, God gives us power to be able to touch lives. Have you ever seen videos of like Mother Teresa of Calcutta? And who here remembers Mother Teresa? Come on, you guys are all old enough. I don't even see any young people out there. Everybody here should be raising your hands. Most of you are older than me, for crying out loud. And I remember her quite well, okay? Mother Teresa of Calcutta was not a priest. Mother Teresa of Calcutta did not have any more sacraments than any of you do. She was baptized, she was confirmed. End of story. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, do you think she changed a life or two? Who thinks yes? Okay, you don't have to like this. I'm going to do like school mass, okay? Okay, everybody, who thinks Mother Teresa? Okay. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, with simple baptism and confirmation, left a mark in the world. She will go down in history. She left a mark in the world. And when people, it's enough, even she's not even alive anymore. And if you watch videos of her, I have a video. There was a great one that was made in the 80s called Something Beautiful for God. I don't remember the name of the, not Atwater, I don't remember the name of the guy. Is Adna something? Famous British journalist guy who did the video. Even now, watching it, you look at this video and you watch her interaction with people and you say, wow. And you become edified. And even dead, she communicates God's life to us. When you watch her, you know that you are watching a saint, okay? There is power to a person who lives the life of grace and allows God to flow through us. God actually can work miracles through us and wants to work miracles through us. And I'm not talking about special people or mystics or anything. I'm talking ordinary Catholics are called to be instruments of God's grace to work miracles in the world. We have to learn how to let Him flow through us. This is another way of saying we are called to live in the world, but not be of the world. I think it was actually in the Gospel of John that we just read. You know, I think it's the same gospel here where Jesus says, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. We're different. Baptism and our Catholic faith makes us different. So if everything that I'm saying, we're supposed to be so different than everybody and we're to have so much power and everything, this begs the big question. Okay, how many of us, if we were to, you know, without being seen sneaking into a church, if we were just to be like shipped off to somewhere else and people were to, you were suddenly just to get called, accused, and brought to trial for your faith. Let's imagine Catholicism suddenly became illegal and the churches were shut down so you couldn't go to church, so there was nobody saw you going in and out of a mass. If Catholicism was suddenly illegal and you got accused and tried for being a Catholic, how many of us would there be sufficient evidence for us to be convicted? If Catholicism was illegal, how many of us could say, there's enough evidence out there of my Catholic faith that I would be convicted? How many of us would get off scot-free? Which would not be a good thing in this case, okay? You're not supposed to want to get off scot-free. It's like some of you are like, yeah, I got this. I'm not going to jail. If you're not going to jail, it's not a good thing. How many of us really, if it was by just simply people who work with us in the workplace, see us the way that we drive, the way that we deal with people, you know, I don't know, in the supermarket or on the subway or whatever the case may be, can people tell that we're Catholic? Does it make a difference? Can people tell that we have a relationship with God by who we are, how we dress, how we act, by our generosity? Here's another little conscience exam we can do. How do I use my time? If I belong to God, I'm God's property. The reason I've been baptized into his church so that I can be a saint, so that I can help save souls, how does the way that I use my time reflect that? How much of my time do I actually spend either praying or doing things that are holy, or even just in an informal way, helping my neighbor, or, you know, just being productive, building society? And how much of my time do I spend either vegetating or doing things that are kind of, you know, watching things I probably shouldn't be watching or whatever? The way that I use my time, does that speak to the fact that I have been consecrated by God for divine service? The way that I use my money, how generous am I? If I have been consecrated by God for divine service, does the way that I use my money reflect that? Because I think sometimes we look at God the way we look at some of our friends, right? In limited doses, he's great to have around, right? But if you have a friend who wants to be in your life too much, it's like, okay, dude, you're annoying. Go away. Stay in your lane, okay? You're not my spouse, you're my friend. Well, you know what? If we have that mentality with God, there's something wrong. Every aspect of our life belongs to God. Every aspect of our life belongs to God. If God is the unwelcome neighbor or friend who starts becoming inconvenient and showing up too much in our lives, the problem isn't God. The problem is us. So I think this gospel merits a little bit of reflection. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. By the way, you want to know what God's word is? It is Jesus himself. Jesus, have you ever heard Jesus referred to as the word? Logos, the word of God. I used to be annoyed as a little kid when people would say, Jesus is the word. And I said, just be normal and call him Jesus or God or something like that. But there's a reason for that. Because it goes back to the ancient Greek in which the original gospel was written. It basically means Jesus is God's truth. He is God. Everything that God the Father wants to say is summarized in one word that is so powerful that it becomes God himself. It becomes like the second person of the Trinity, which is Jesus, ultimately. That's what it means by Jesus is the word. And Jesus is saying, consecrate them in the truth. Your word, I am the truth. As you sent me into the world, so I send them. So if you and I want to be holy, it's really going to come down to Jesus. It's going to come down to letting him be the meaning behind our lives. So you guys are also getting holy by having to put up with a long homily, so we're going to cut it short right here. So anyway, my invitation to you is take today's gospel. Everybody has cell phones these days. You can look it up. Take today's gospel and let's spend a little time meditating and reflecting and saying, how much do I, or in what way does my life reflect the fact that I am consecrated to God? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.